Hi, welcome to another of our Coffee Time Chats. Today we're joined by Neville Isaac of Beyond Price and Karen Van Rie of Jujo Analytics. In this conversation, we discuss with Neville and Karen whether revenue strategy is just a pipe dream for most hoteliers. We look at how old-fashioned and outdated approaches to revenue management, or more accurately pricing, continually hold back the evolution to revenue strategy. We explore what is needed if we are to truly free the revenue manager to be strategic and ask, what actually is revenue strategy? Finally, we consider how tired old metrics ensure we repeat the same thing over and over, and how we should be asking more enlightened questions around who is our most profitable guest and what percentage of bookings do they actually represent. Without changing the focus, the questions asked, and metrics measured, surely revenue strategy just exists as another recurring seminar topic. Anyway, really hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started. Hey guys, thanks for joining us today on another one of our Revenue Hub discussions. Not sure whether this is going to be a coffee time chat or an expert insights. Let's see what direction this takes us in. Anyway, just to sort of tee up the conversation, and then I'll get each of you to give us an introduction. So we've been looking at the impact of technology on the hotel industry is not a new thing, certainly not. We've seen how it has been changing the way hotel operates for years. It's maybe accelerated during the pandemic or also brought other technology to the front. But evolution through technology has always been there. So making a technological change is not something new or something to fear. But we've got you guys here because we want to talk about revenue strategy, this much-used phrase about moving from revenue management to revenue strategy. And I think that from my side, to achieve that, to embrace revenue strategy, then technology is undoubtedly a critical building block. But it isn't the magic bullet. There also has to be, in my mind, a change in focus. Maybe some of the questions that we're asking, some of the ways that we're measuring. And so to explore that further, that's why we wanted to get you guys on. And so to kick this off, let me get you to introduce yourself, and at least that will explain to the people who are watching and listening why you are the guys better positioned to talk about this than I will be. So, Karen, if we could invite you first to introduce yourself, that would be great.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. So I'm Karen. I'm an hotelier. That's still how I introduce myself. I'd like to introduce myself. I've worked in the hotel business for over 17, 18 years now. Started off in operational roles, but very soon went into the revenue management and the commercial side of hotels. So the last 15 years, I'd say, of my career, I've had different roles in revenue management, commercial management. And since 5 years, I moved to the dark side. And I work in hotel tech now. But actually, what I do is that I connect the dots of everything that I've been learning in the past and kind of the struggles that I had in those commercial roles as revenue manager. I now translate them into hotel technology. And that's what I do at Jujo Analytics.
Brilliant. Thank you. And Neville, if I can get you to do the same, introduce yourself, please.
Hi, I'm Neville. Actually, I have a remarkably similar trajectory to Karen. I'm also a hotelier, and I think I always will be a hotelier. And I started off also in operations. I was the general manager of a boutique property in London for 5 years. And then I started to specialize in revenue management and distribution, which I did in a large chain for many years. Then I also moved over to the dark side. I also work for a company that provides technology, revenue management technology to hotels, which is called Beyond Price. And we offer a revenue management system. So we use artificial intelligence to provide a forecast and strategy recommendations for our member hotels, for our customers.
Brilliant. Super. Thank you both for the introductions. So How do we start a conversation about moving to revenue strategy? Well, maybe the starting point is to go back in time a little bit and to look at your roles or your experiences of what revenue management was like, how you used to do it. And then we'll look at, ask your opinion that if that was your experience, how different is that today? Because that kind of frames where we may see the industry has been, how far forward it has moved, but then positions it in terms of the conversation we want to have going forward. So if I pass it over to you guys and just say, okay, revenue management, when you were doing it, what were you spending your time doing? who wants to go first?
Okay.
I don't know about you, Neville, but I mainly remember a lot of reporting. A lot of time spent on creating reporting. I remember the days that I had board meetings and strategy meetings. I had to lock myself up for days in gathering all the different data sources, kind of screenshotting it into one document, trying to link the data all together. By the time that I had my meeting, obviously the data was already out of date. So then quickly in the morning, I had to update to put the fresh data in. So that's mainly what I remember from my revenue management times. A lot of manual reporting, a lot of time. I would argue 80% of my time is spent on reporting, preparing reporting, all of that. And then pricing, a lot of focus on what am I selling next week on Tuesday and what should I be selling in 2 weeks from now. That was mainly my day.
Snap. I mean, interestingly, when I started out in revenue management, which was really around about 2000 and something, I don't want to reveal my age here. Firstly, revenue management was purely focused on rooms. And there was a massive amount of, as Karen said, gathering information from different sources, pasting this information into some sort of massive Excel file, which we had created.
Monster.
I mean, really big Excel files. I look at them now and I don't understand them anymore. And then manually making a forecast. And just to give you an idea, once, if you already have built your forecasting Excel, which takes a long time, even so, if you want to forecast for one hotel, or when I did forecast for one hotel, it would maybe take 2 or 3 hours to do the forecast. Wow. Cutting and pasting information, looking in the PMS, looking somewhere else, looking in an events calendar, all this sort of stuff. And that was prior to any sort of decision-making at all. And if you worked in a chain, and I worked in a chain as well, most revenue managers are managing 3 or 4 properties. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about 8 hours a week just generating a forecast. and then also, as Karen mentioned, weekly revenue meetings, which you have to prepare for, where you have to provide a load of data. So a huge amount of time spent on manual execution or manual operational tasks. And then actually having very little time really to sit back, take a step back and think about strategically what's best for the business. So it, exactly as Karen said, lots of operational work and then lots of tactical pricing decisions. And we became pretty good at that manually, to be perfectly honest.
We became efficient.
Yeah. But it wasn't an ideal use of the time of a revenue manager. I mean, at the time it was because there was no alternative. But, mm-hmm. but it was a lot of execution and very little thinking.
And so if we kind of take that and roll it forward, because I guess that's the whole point of why then the development of RMS, pricing solutions, you know, in the same way, I guess that from a finance point of view, you know, there's accountancy software got developed to move people beyond from Excel. So it's a natural progression. If we look generally, and with a caveat maybe that not every hotel in the world exists within a branded property or one of the major groups. There are still a lot of other hotels out there, independent properties, small groups, family owned. If we were to look and think, as a rough percentage, how many people, how many hotels are still revenue managing? And I use that term lightly. We could talk about pricing and reporting is maybe a better term, in the same way that you were doing it back in the 2000 and somethings, Neville. And I think listening to what you said, Karen, probably about 5-6 years ago or something before you moved to the dark side. What would you, and I know this is rough, we're just trying to sort of frame and position this. So where would you say we are in terms of the hotel industry still doing things in that same old way?
I mean, there are studies on this, actually. Deloitte have published some studies on this, and a few other consultancy companies as well. And there's an estimation that the figures are not all exactly the same, but there's an estimation that only 15 to 20% of hotels in the world are using tech to do their revenue management, which means the vast majority of hotels are not. So, and then I would even go one step further and say within that 80%, and maybe it's 80, maybe it's 75, it doesn't really matter. But within that percentage, some of them will be doing what Karen and I just described, so doing revenue management manually, and some of them, not even that. And there's kind of, in my opinion, two speeds. There are people who are quite sophisticated, and there are people who still don't have a revenue management culture within their organizations. So there's a lot to do in this respect. But I mean, really these days, the tools are available. Mm. It's just knowing that they're there and knowing that you need them as well.
Yeah, good point. Karen, from your perspective, what would you concur or a different view?
I mean, I can't argue, of course, the figures that are officially consulted. But I agree, there is still a shocking amount of hotels doing this manually. You've just heard how we described it. That sounds fairly ancient, but it is still happening.
Yeah.
Another challenge that comes with that, I'd find, is that because it's also time consuming and we're probably underusing the data that's available to us, we kind of focus on what we know or what we generally do, and we do that in our own silo. So revenue management is doing that for pricing. Then you've got distribution that's looking maybe at channels, and then you've got sales that are hunting sales down maybe for periods that you don't need sales. So we're very siloed organizations generally in the hospitality industry. Yeah. And actually by not putting all that data together or going manually, I would say we amplify the problem, or let's say the potential that we have is even much bigger if you think about how much better it would be if you would start breaking those silos and bring people together.
Well, that kind of takes me, it kind of leads me on. We'll pick up on that point just in a moment, because I think what I was trying to position in these first few minutes is that if we always, just listening to you guys, the amount of time that was spent on pricing and reporting and copy and pasting into Excel and forecasting, whether for one property or a cluster of properties, there is just no way, or there is no way I can see that if you are operating in that manner, that you can even comprehend what revenue strategy could be. You just do not have the time to physically even evolve. Even if you break down silos, have more data, and we'll talk about that in a minute, you just cannot even embrace it. So it's almost an anathema to talk about, oh, we're going to become strategic in our revenue management if we do not have some investment in a piece of technology to free up our pricing and reporting to at least, I mean, if I take your point, Karen, you said 80% of your time was probably spent on pricing, reporting, forecasting. So if we got a piece of technology in, well, we could either be maybe a not so progressive employer and we use technology to replace that person. And we know that some people are doing that. Let's not hide it. So, okay, that's maybe not the approach we're looking at here. But let's say we want to invest in our operation. We want to invest and enhance what our revenue professional can do for our hotel. So we recognize we need to free up that 80% of the time. So by getting an RMS or a pricing solution in place, in theory, would address those elements that you're talking about that you've been doing manually. Is that a fair assumption? And I'm conscious I'm talking with people here, obviously have a vested interest, but if I'm talking generally, that would seem a fair logical assumption, yeah?
Absolutely, and it's the basics, right?
Yeah.
So I think these revenue tactics we've just described on reporting, forecasting, and pricing, they're necessary. Without that, forget about being strategic, right? I mean, you need to price your rooms for next week. If you don't do that, you're not be able to get any business in. So that needs to be covered first.
Yeah.
So if we find ways to get that covered quicker, easier, more efficiently, yes, only then I would say are you able to become more strategic.
And Neville, from someone who's obviously coming up with an AI pricing sort of, I guess you're going to agree that a bit of technology to release you is a good investment.
I mean, I think it's, if you want to take a step forwards and really start thinking more holistically about the strategy of your hotel, you need to remove a lot of this non-value-adding tasks that can be done perfectly well with technology. Mm-hmm. And the barriers to using technology in the past were often price, but these days, RMS technology is not that expensive.
Yeah.
And it's an investment, it's not a cost.
And there's different ways as well, isn't there? I mean, yeah. You've got very sophisticated systems, or there are some systems that aren't as sophisticated but still achieve that objective of freeing up that pricing and reporting element, yeah?
I mean, I think really it depends on your business. Not every business needs the most sophisticated piece of tech out there. Mm-hmm. If you're a 50-bedroom hotel in London with only transient business and it all comes from your website or OTAs, mm-hmm. you don't necessarily need the same piece of tech as a 400-bedroom hotel with 20 meeting rooms, a spa, and a gym.
Yeah.
So there is tech out there that meets different requirements.
Makes sense.
And they have also different costs. So it's a question of sitting down and thinking, what do I need in order to improve?
Well, I think that
that's the idea.
I mean, that leads me on to the next phase of this. So I'm a GM. Forget the type of property, but I recognize I need a bit of technology because I want to free up my RM. I want to keep them. It's hard to hire people, but I want them to feel like they're adding more value to my property. They've kept coming back and talking about revenue strategy. So, okay, I've invested in this piece of tech. So now I have a strategic revenue manager, don't I? Because, you know, they've now got 80% of their time is free to be strategic. So is that what I've got? I now have a strategic revenue manager? what am I missing?
Well, maybe the question is to ask is how, what does the first day of that person look like, right? How is the role changing of a revenue manager? Now there's not only focus on pricing. So don't that get me wrong, the pricing still needs to be, I guess, supervised and looked after. And I don't think it sounds maybe scary thinking from, hey, wait a minute, all my things that I used to do on a daily basis, I don't do them anymore. And now I become strategic. And what does that mean? Mm. Right. But if you think about everything that you've been doing before on a pricing, you looked at data, right? Because you looked at what is my competitor selling? What were they selling yesterday? How much pickup has been coming in? So you were already looking at data. I guess becoming strategic just means that you're adding additional data sources to what you're looking at. Because ultimately, what we want is that we want to generate most profit for our hotels. Mm-hmm. The way to do that previously was mainly focusing on top line pricing. However, there's a lot of additional data sets that help you deciding on kind of who is that most profitable guest that I want to get sleeping in my hotel room. And that's just not always the one that pays the highest bar rate. So I guess it's all about starting then to gradually add different layers of information and looking at different data sets. And what kind of data sets that would be, again, that's very dependent on the kind of hotel you are. Mm-hmm. Coming back to Neville's example, if you are a mainly transient-driven hotel where the majority of your business is coming from online channels, you could make a lot of additional profit by starting to look at how much do I pay to get that customer in, right? Looking at things like net ADR instead of ADR, looking at how can I optimize my channel mix. And there as well, it's important to look at the full picture and not to, I would say, fool ourselves, right? Because very quickly we say, oh yes, indeed, OTAs are evil, they're expensive. My brand website is for free. Right. Uh-huh. But it ain't really for free. So when you start looking at that transient driven hotel, when you start looking at how can I make sure that the most profitable guest sleeps in my hotel and who is that most profitable guest, it's not necessarily the one that books direct, right? But you need to start looking at the holistic view of the different costs that you have, start comparing them, etc. And that's just one example, of course, of how you could add additional layer of information. Another one I would argue is that, again, if we're thinking about who spends most money in our properties, it's not always our customer that books our bar rates, but how much do they spend in the bar or how much do they spend in a restaurant? And that should ultimately be taken in consideration when you make a decision on who gets to sleep in my rooms. Mm-hmm. You want to look at the full picture and then make your decision. So gradually you'll start adding different data sources and eventually it will reveal to you who is your most profitable guest.
That makes sense. Neville?
I mean, I completely agree here. And I think we have to move the conversation on from the typical KPIs that we've been using up to now, which is ADR, RevPAR occupancy, and their equivalents in market share, which are sort of the most common KPIs that people manage. Because they're not giving you the full picture. So we've traditionally concentrated on these because revenue management started being just rooms-based, as I mentioned. But if we have this time that's been freed up because we're using tech for a lot of the execution and the tactical decision-making, then as Karen says, we need to start looking at more KPIs and more data. And Karen's gave some really good examples. So your customer acquisition costs, how much is it costing you to acquire your customers? And actually in the hotel business, it costs us loads to acquire customers in general. Mm-hmm. Even you compare us to airlines or car rental, it's three times as much. And customer lifetime value. How much is this customer worth to me in the long term and not just for how much are they going to pay tomorrow for the room? So firstly, we need to look at this data and this is kind of like unpeeling an onion. You unpeel one layer, then another layer comes up and you start really going digging into your data because you've got time to do it. And I would add an additional aspect to this. The first step is understanding your business. Mm-hmm. And you need data to do this. But then you also need to decide, what am I going to do differently than I did before? And then we get into this discussion that we've been having for years about total revenue management. And I would even say total revenue management is kind of obsolete, even though we didn't really get there. We need to be thinking about profit. And how can I act on each customer at each stage in that customer journey? What tools do I have available to me, or in order to maximize the profit from these customers. Mm-hmm. And that could be, I need to optimize my F&B, and maybe I need some tech for that as well. Mm-hmm. Or it could be, I need to up my game with guest messaging because I can start upselling and upgrading. Or I can increase my reputation by post-day comments, or maybe I've got a car park and maybe I need to optimize that car park. And I haven't even been looking at these things up mm-hmm. to now. So I think this is a journey, and it's not a short journey, but we've taken the first steps in revenue management already, and now we need to take the next steps. And there's a long way to go, and there's a lot to do. It's quite, and I think it's quite exciting, actually, because my sense is that in the last 2 years, and maybe COVID has accelerated this a bit, people are really starting to realize that we really need to think holistically about the whole business. And that the question is how to do it.
And I think, so in listening to what you're saying there, I mean, we've spoken about having a piece of technology that obviously supports our pricing. But then, as you said, there are many other data. So we're suddenly looking at business intelligence, aren't we? We're looking at what is the additional data that we can then be pulling across our business, back to your point, Neville, to understand our business. But then, as you were saying, Karen, it's kind of the overlaying of this different business intelligence and what the data is telling us to be asking slightly different questions than we asked before, you know, not using those same metrics. So what I just want to do, kind of in a hypothetical way here, because I want to pick up on the word profit. The word profit has been used a lot more in the last couple of years through the pandemic than it previously was before. A lot was, total revenue management, different revenue streams. Now that's come more to the fore, and profitability is key. I think there was an interesting statement that you made there about a most profitable guest. And I think one of the, when I use the word strategy, I wonder if that's partially, not confusing is the wrong word, but that can mean so many different things to so many different people. As you said, depending on what my hotel is, what it looks like, what's important for me. So in a hypothetical scenario, if I was a general manager and my focus is on revenue, of course, but more importantly now is around profitability. So that would lead me, I would think, to be asking my revenue professional, are the guests staying at our hotel the most profitable guests available to my property? So I guess if I ask that as a starting question, with my strategy being that's what I want to do, is to increase and to focus on the profitability of guests, that naturally would probably lead me to having to measure in a different way, ask different questions, combine different data sets. Would that be fair? Is that a fair logical connection of the dots in my head?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's many ways, again, of measuring that most profitable guest, right? I always I like the unpeeling onion approach that Neville has. I always see traffic lights in front of me, because there's a lot of KPIs. Going back to our original conversation, we've been painting a very dark picture of how things were, right? And of course, there has been things that we've all been doing and we are all doing, even though we're doing it manually. But what I'm trying to say with that traffic light approach is, let's take things like a lead time, right? Mm-hmm. Or things like a length of stay. Mm-hmm. I would argue that's a strategic approach of looking at your business, right? Knowing what is your length of stay, what is your average lead time. But I always knew that figure. So even though I was very focused on pricing, et cetera, I kind of know that my length of stay was 1.5, because I looked at it twice a year and I recalculated it, and sometimes it went up to 1.7 and sometimes it dropped to 1.2. And that was a strategic information point I had. Mm-hmm. But when I now apply that same information, turning it back to the customer, so thinking about it from a segmentation point of view, thinking about it from a geographic point of view, instead of saying, I know that it's 1.5, an average guest says 1.5, if I know that someone from the UK generally tends to stay two nights, and someone from the US, I'm making a very obvious one here, stays a week, right? That US guest, thinking about the operating cost of my room, is more profitable to me, mm-hmm. right? So that gets a green tick, US versus UK. If I then find out that the US guest books mainly through a very expensive channel, whether the UK guest is actually costing me a lot less, the UK guest gets a green tick. Mm-hmm. And if I start adding all of that, so acquisition costs, spend in the bar, spend in the restaurant, are they coming on low shoulder nights, for instance? Are they coming in low season? They're bringing me business on a Sunday. So all those different elements that are important, and that's up to you as a general manager to see what's important, you start ticking those boxes. And at the end, the one that gets most ticks, right, is your most profitable guest. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's the one you then need to start approaching.
Yeah, and then you develop strategies in where you're trying to fill as many of those into your property, and then you go to the next most profitable. But you're making your targeting based around profitability, layering additional information in there to help that, rather than just who's paying the most for my room, for instance.
Absolutely.
Neville, do you?
I mean, I completely agree. And actually, I think here, there's something that we need to bear in mind here as well. And this is also a bit of a topic, but we've been talking for a while about breaking down silos between different departments within the hotel. But this approach is, we absolutely need total coordination. Because, for example, marketing is going to be involved if you're going to be planning specific offers for specific markets. Mm-hmm. Distribution is going to be involved because you're maybe going to have different actions for different distribution channels or perhaps your own direct channel. Operations might need to be involved as well. So these are all aspects which require a fully coordinated approach within the hotel. And I think maybe the role of the revenue manager is to provide the data, and the decisions should be taken collectively. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I can give you an example of how this didn't work in my past. Occasionally, in the chamber I worked, we would launch some special offers. And those special offers, there would be data and they weren't available, mm-hmm. Because we had a forecast of lots of occupants. And then it would transpire that the people in charge of the web were spending money on optimizing the web on those destinations on those days. So we were wasting money when there was no availability. And I'm fairly sure that's not uncommon.
Yeah.
So, and this is a question of sharing data and taking data-driven decisions collectively, and sort of not having this division that we have had in the past. And again, I agree with Karen. I'm not slagging off what's happened up to now. I think actually, hotel revenue management has evolved amazingly in the last 15 years, but we need to keep evolving. And I think this is one of the steps.
To come back to you, what you're saying there, Neville, I mean, I think you're very right on what you're saying. And if we think about data-driven decision-making, so we always think about it's the revenue manager, right? They do their funky things in Excel, and that's the ones that provide data, and marketing does the fluffy thing. But I would argue that actually there's a lot of gains to be made in the marketing department as well to become more data-driven, right? So if I turn my earlier example around where I found out that a UK guest was spending less in my hotel. If I turn that around, right? If I think about, I need to do a strategic targeting plan for marketing, and I'm in a need period. The need period is coming up, and I know my need period is in the next 2 months. I would turn that question around, and I would say, "Hey, who is generally booking me 2 months out?" And if I find out who is booking me 2 months out, I then want to know on which channels do these people book. Mm-hmm. And then I want to know which nationality do these people have. And if I know that data, that's then the kind of data that marketing can become very targeted with. Mm-hmm. Because marketing is bloody expensive. And generic marketing is even more expensive. So the more targeted I am in my marketing actions, the cheaper it is and the better ROI that I have. So it's not just up to the revenue manager to find out who's that most profitable guest. No, it actually should be applied, I think, in all commercial departments. And so we can make sure that the way that we do business, that profitable guest, but as well the way that we spend our money is done in an efficient way.
And I guess added to that, picking up some points that you made, Neville, as well about the additional revenue streams. I mean, if someone's coming in from the US, for instance, they're going to be flying in, let's say, if they're coming into a city, so they won't necessarily be driving. But if someone is local, they might be driving. And if your hotel has car parking, then you could look at doing something around the car parking. And so suddenly the value and profitability of that guest, if they're now having that additional revenue stream of car parking layered onto how much they are spending with you, that increases their value to the property. If someone from America is maybe coming in and they want to see London, the likelihood is maybe they will be going out and traveling and going to different restaurants and eating less in your property, whereas there could be a different guest who's coming and staying and meeting people and using your restaurant or using your bars. So again, their value to you as a hotel is different. So it's understanding the value. And I used a terrible phrase a number of years ago. I used to refer to it as revenue per available wallet. It's like, how much do we understand? You know, we got this walk. Well, it felt a bit like that a few years ago. It felt like the people had lost the focus on it being about hospitality, and it was just about, okay, how much can we squeeze out of their, how much cash can we get out their wallet, how much can we get them swiping their debit card through us. I think that's probably starting to readjust slightly now, but that's the principle, isn't it? It's like, how much are they spending for our room, how much are they spending in our property, are they using the spa, are they using a car park, what is the value of that individual to us? And by bringing that additional layer and information, that helps us to look at who is a more profitable guest and therefore start to align, to your point, Karen, our marketing efforts and the money that we're spending on marketing, on distribution, to be targeting in prioritizing those that we have identified as being more profitable. Have I understood that correctly? Yeah, you're silently nodding, so I'll take
that. I was trying to come up with a better revenue per wallet. Right in my head.
Revenue per guest, maybe.
We say revenue per available guest.
Right, yeah. Or I would argue, you just swap wallet for guest. It's one of the same thing. One seems more pleasant than the other.
Well, I would argue maybe we need to look at things like revenue per square meter.
Yeah.
Right. And look rather at our properties from a holistic point of view, because we always think hotels, yes, we sell rooms, and by the way, you can eat here. Mm-hmm. And that is very true for our American guest that needs to stay somewhere. But think as well about your local community, right? They would never sleep in your hotel, normally speaking, unless they're kicked out and have a fight at home. But generally they would not sleep in your hotel. But they are potentially spending a lot of money in your restaurant, in your bar, and often they're forgotten in our overall strategy.
Yeah, very good point.
So maybe we need to look at new KPIs, right? And indeed measuring our success, because if we continue to look at standard KPIs, we will continue to measure our success toward what we're used to. So I would turn it completely around and indeed come up with these new KPIs to really not only, of course, we need to focus on that most profitable guest, but we should as well think about the full picture of our hotel. And it's not only neat rooms, but think about how else we can optimize our square meters. And I think as well there, the pandemic has hit another trend of people wanted to get out and spend time co-working in the bar, right? Or I don't know, package delivery at reception, laundry services, because I don't want to iron myself. All these things could be looked at. So we should, I think, look at the hotel as a box, look at the square meters that are available and think about how we can optimize eventually our revenues and profits.
Yeah, never.
And
really.
I think here, this is a very interesting point because I have friends who work for asset management companies. And at the end of the day, most hotels are owned by large real estate investment trusts or asset managers. And they're managed by multiple different brands. But those people look at how much return am I getting for the square meterage in my property. I own this property. I want a return for all the square meters in this property. Mm-hmm. So asset managers, this is what they want to see. And hotels aren't really producing this information yet. And I certainly think we do. And this is a combination of, it's such an interesting conversation, I could talk for hours. But this is a combination of data. So we need data. We need to start collecting more data. And we need a revenue manager or somebody, whatever title we want to give them, who can interpret this data. Mm-hmm. Then we need to take action on this data. But there's also a question about our product. Mm-hmm. And there are movements in this direction already, but there are chains out there who are really focusing on optimizing the income from their non-bedroom space. Mm-hmm. If you think about a chain like Citizen M or something like that, or Radisson Red, and Moxie. I was in a Moxie in Portugal last week that just opened. Those brands are really trying to optimize the income from all of their space. Mm-hmm. So you're not walking into a dusty lobby with a massive flower arrangement on a big table and nobody there. Yeah. You're actually in a property where every meter of the property is trying to generate revenue.
I think it's also interesting with that, and we won't go down this route because I'm conscious of your guys' time already, but I agree with you. It's a fascinating conversation, but I think it's so much of this comes back to old traditional ways of doing things. Like revenue was always focused on room, and then we talk about anything outside of room revenue being ancillary revenue. Well, surely it's just revenue, isn't it?
I mean, for goodness sake.
Then we get into looking at, okay, now we talk about a guest. Well, is someone only a guest in your property? If someone walks through your property, are you not welcoming them in? So do they not by definition become a guest if they use your bar, if they use your restaurant? Why is a guest only perceived as someone that uses a room? So when we talk about profitable guests, if someone comes in and is eating at our restaurant a lot during the week, they may not actually stay with us. But because we've built a community, or because we've built our hotel engages with our community and we're a great place for people to come together as a hub, that guest, although they don't stay, could actually be pretty profitable and are worth retargeting. So I think it comes back, so much of this comes back to we use the same old metrics, we use the same old definitions. And to me, it comes back to, okay, this word around strategy. What does that actually mean? What is the question that the GM is asking above and beyond what we've always asked? Because in my mind, if you ask a question, you know, I'm going to go way off a segment for way off tangent for, but you know, you think about people that want to explore space or whatever. Someone asked the question, what is out there? And then they said, well, let's go and find out. And that drove everything that they did, all the investment, all the questions, all the information gathering. So if we just took what is our most profitable guest, and we didn't define guest as just someone that stays with us, but we looked at everyone that comes into our property, every revenue stream they engage with, every source of data and business intelligence that we have, pull that together, ask those multi-layered questions, then I think we start to stop looking at things as silos of departments. We start to stop looking at things in old traditional metrics. And also, we stop looking at technology as bits that are bolted together. And actually, we start to look at technology forming an integrated platform, like a total profit platform. I'm going to focus on profit. I need more information. I need to free up my revenue person to be being more strategic. They need a tool to help them. I need business intelligence to do that. I need to be bringing my sales, marketing, F&B operations together. So if I look at my technology rather than individual pieces bolted and actually as a platform that is enabling me to answer those strategic questions. Yes, it starts with the question, but then you define the tool. I mean, sorry, I've gone off on a little monologue for a bit there, but that's just not me. I mean, I haven't been a hotelier, so, you know, I could be talking complete nonsense, but.
I mean, I think that's where we need to go. And in terms of tech, we need to start having tech connects together and that you can manage as a whole. So instead of having, I've got this bit of tech for this, this bit for this, this bit for this, we need to have them connected. First, we need to connect the dots in data, then we need to connect the technology. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be available and easy to use in one platform. And I think when we get to that point, and I don't think we're that far away, and in Beyond Price, we're thinking about this. It's going to completely change the way we manage our businesses. Mm-hmm.
And Karen?
Yeah, I completely agree. So we have so much data available to us as revenue managers. A lot more, I would argue, all of you listening that are revenue managers, you have a lot more data available to you compared to what I used to have when I was one. And the great thing about it is if we connect the dots, we can make very, very powerful decisions.
Yeah.
But to be able to connect the dots, we need to bring the data to one central space. And I think that's where the integrations come along, where tech providers start connecting data, where that's one thing that we do at Junior Analytics. We integrate data from different sources. And when it all sits in one platform and all the different silos work within the same platform, then it's a very logical next step because you see all the data layered together and you can take your decisions based on all the data that's connectedly available.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense. So I think in terms of trying to pull this together as a strand and draw a conclusion. So if I'm genuinely going to look at trying to move, let's just say revenue strategy. Let's forget the whole bigger picture. But unless I have some sort of RMS or pricing tool that can at least free up the person responsible for revenue management to have time to think strategic, there's no way I can even embrace that. If I then don't look at some form of business intelligence tool, some way of combining additional data information that can overlay and supplement to back to that, you know, stripping back the onion to ask more detailed, intelligent questions, then I'm not also going to be able to progress because I won't have that information. And then if I don't put on top of that a change of focus, maybe even attitude, I don't like to word the use the word attitude, but, you know, around metrics, profitability, additional revenue streams, is a guest just a guest because they stay in a room, or are they just a guest because they come in and consume something within our hotel? Unless we shift that and start to ask different questions, we'd never realize a strategy and then make it happen. So this need to start thinking in terms of profitability and our technology as an integrated platform, that to me seems the next most critical step. But it has to be, I think overall for me, it has to be seen as this is not a cost to a hotel. This is, you know, it is a strategic decision a general manager has to make to look at, can we be doing better with our property than we have done historically? And where do I need to invest, both in terms of my people and in terms of technology and in terms of intelligence? And what questions do I need to be asking to maybe be deriving different answers and different metrics to measure that? Would that be a fair conclusion?
I think that's nicely wrapped up.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Perfect. All right. Well, look, we will wrap that up here. Thank you both so much for your time. I'm really conscious we've kept you on here longer than expected, but I think there's so much that we could talk about in here. It is a fascinating conversation. I agree with you, Neville. It's a very exciting time because there is so much that is moving in that could be embraced. But I think back to your point as well, Karen. It's these asking the questions, the combination of intelligence, the multi-layered and the additional data points that we're looking at to give us those green, amber, or red criteria. That's where we need to be going. So it'll be interesting to see how it evolves. But thank you both so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Trevor. Thanks, Karen.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you soon.
Bye-bye. Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Neville and Karen for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. We value your input, and we're happy to follow up with our guests. Also, if there are any topics that particularly interest you, or if there are any specific guests you would like to hear from, please do let us know. You can reach us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. And if you do watch it on YouTube, it would be great if you could give it a thumbs up or even subscribe, as it really helps out the channel. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.